Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, Your Place of Prayer, Love, Acceptance, Compassion, and Empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as always, we're starting off with devotion. So we'll have song, we'll have scripture, followed by prayer. Start off with the song. And the song will be Open My Heart by Yolanda Adams.
Especially today, when my life is
text for tonight is taken from Romans 8, 1 through 17. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. For those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. You will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. God has a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God. Dr. Susie, are you on?
I was praying on mute. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Lord, we come before you tonight, and we're just so thankful. Thank you for watching over us and keeping us tonight. Thank you for the word that Dr. Nix is going to bring to help us to be to have better understanding of the Spirit. And, Lord, we're just asking that as we go through, that we might not just learn this academically, but we might live it and change our own and transform our own lives with this same word. We thank you for what you're doing for us. We thank you for what you're going to do. We trust you for it with it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, we're excited and we are here tonight and we're going to start our Bible study. We've had a wonderful month, and this month has been about the fruit of the Spirit, which is the theme for April. And Dr. Nooks has led us over several topics, such as why do we have spiritual gifts, and what are the gifts of the Spirit, and what are the gifts of the flesh, and what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. And so he is going to help us and assist us tonight. And we have so much to thank God for. Last week was Easter, and we just pray that all of you had a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. And we're excited about what we are going to encounter this evening. So be with us and come join us and bring your questions and be prepared to deal with the questions for this evening, which is, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? So, Dr. Nix, if you're ready, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Susie. My sisters and brothers, I guess maybe we would like to start by getting an idea about get a roll call on who's online with us this evening. I know Dr. Susie is. Brett, did I hear you?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Myself, and there may be others online. Sometimes they don't want to say, but they still can listen in and whenever you want to participate.
Okay, Sherry Abraham.
Sherry? Okay. We're excited about what God is doing in our lives, and we're excited that we're children of God and children of the Spirit. And I wanted to talk about the gifts of the Spirit this month, because it's so important for us to realize that, first of all, that we have gifts of the Spirit, and then to walk in the Spirit. Because somebody needs to see the love of God demonstrated. And I think the gift of the Spirit, which is love, and then there are other gifts that go along with it, but I think it all falls under love. I think that is transformative in the world today. We see so much evilness and wickedness and meanness. And sometimes it's coming from people that call themselves Christians. And I'm really concerned about that, because it gives the message to the people in the world that this is the way we ought to be. And God is saying in God's word that that's not the way we ought to be. So I just want to start out and ask a couple of questions of those that are participating tonight. What draws people to the church, and what turns people off from the church? And I just like to get some input from our people that are online, and realize we're talking to people. Some of them may be babes in Christ. Some of them may want to hear a word from people that have experienced this in the church. And so your knowledge and experience is very valuable. So please share it with us. But we'd like to start out with that general question. What draws people to the church, and what turns people off from the church? I know that we have Brett and Dr. Susie and Sherry, so we'd be happy to hear from you.
This is Brett.
Yes, Brett.
What I hear from a lot of people that tell me that they don't believe in God, and I ask them why, and they say, well, when they pray, they never get an answer.
About church?
And another
thing, so they don't go?
No. I'm saying when I talk to people and they tell me that they don't believe in God, I ask them why.
Uh-huh.
And they say, well, when they were going to church and they prayed, their prayers were never answered.
Okay.
And I said, well, were you looking through for an answer spiritually, or were you looking for it like you and I are talking? They say, well, they say God talks to us. I say, yeah, but it's spiritual. You've got to have the right mindset in order for you to communicate with God. If you're not in a spirit mode, then you're not going to hear from him. And that's the key to when people say that God has talked to them, they were in the spirit mode. There you
okay.
go.
What is it that you think, Brett, draws people to the church? What is it that we do right sometimes that makes people want to be a part of God and part of the church?
You know, way back when we first started this Bible study, a question like that was asked of us, those of us that were on at the time. And my personal experience has been that when a person has had something that happens in their life, unfortunately, it's usually death, like with a parent or with a child or somebody that they love, is either going to make the person more spiritual or it's going to draw them away. See, crisis, when we have a crisis in our life, there's nothing that we can physically do to change that crisis. We know that. And I think a lot of people that have not been, who have not been brought up knowing the Word of God or believing in the Word of God, at that particular time and moment, they try to pray and ask for things to change, and if it changes for the better, fine. If it changes for the worse, then God didn't answer my prayer. It's not that He didn't hear it. It just wasn't what was meant for that particular person, and that's something that we all have got to understand. Our time on earth, we don't have a contract that says we're going to live to be 127, okay? From the time you're born, you're on a downward hill to dying. And a lot of people don't look at it that way, but everything we do in life is pushing us towards the end goal of when we leave this realm that we're in, that we're going to go into the afterlife. And when we get into heaven, we want to make it that our time that we have spent on earth to mean something so that we can be allowed to enter into the gates of heaven. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, but we're trying to get at the concept of what is it that draws people to church and what is it that makes them not want to come to church or be a part of God. And I think the first,
it's just
your the first positive, part of the answer
is, yes, it's positive first, things that happen when they pray that makes people want to come to church and know God more.
Okay. Okay, but Dr. Susie or Sherry, do you have any input into that? But I think it's important for our listeners to understand that, and we're going to get into some of those things, but I wanted you all to share with our listeners before we
I
get
have
into
one.
The text.
Okay.
Yes.
I have one. This is Sherry. One of the things that draw people to the church is are the believers that are walking around that are around them.
Amen.
If you are walking in your daily lives and you're interacting with people, and you're walking in a way that they can see God in you, see God through you, and you're being an example. Then they tend to want to know, okay, who do you congregate with? Where do you go? That's one of the ways that draws them into the church. It also is a way
Amen.
That draws them out of the church at the same time, because if you're not walking in the way that you should and they don't see a difference in you outside versus when someone is inside of the church, then they tend to want to not be in there because they can be in the world outside. They don't need to be in the world in and out of the church. So it goes
Amen.
Both ways. Okay.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. And Dr. Susie, you have any input into that discussion? You on mute, Dr. Susie?
I can't get my phone to. Can you hear me, Dr. Nix?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. I like exactly what Sherry said, and the sad thing about that is we don't we're not as cognizant of the fact that people really do watch us. And it doesn't matter whether we're a new believer or one that's been on the journey for a long time. People want to see how the new believers act, if it's making a difference, as she said, in their lives as well. You know, nobody, I don't think people expect people who just have a relationship, start having a relationship with God, to be perfect. But they do expect people who've been on the journey a long time to be close to it. And it's not fair. Jesus should be the plumb line, but, you know, and again, that's humanity. That's what they're going to do. So we just have to realize that we have to do the best job we can and trust God to take us where we need to be and keep striving for it. Never give up.
Amen. So I want us to go back a little bit and look at our text in Galatians 5:22 and read what the fruits of the Spirit are, and then I want us to get into our lesson. Because I want us to focus on what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And I think, you know, our participants this evening have given us a good idea about what it means. I mean, the effect of walking in the Spirit and the effect of not walking in the Spirit. We can draw people or we can turn people off if we don't walk in the Spirit. So can somebody find for us Galatians 5, and actually start at the 13th verse and read Galatians 5:13-26. Can somebody get that for us?
Any particular version? Any particular version?
Probably the message would probably have a better impact.
Okay. I can read it if you'd like.
Okay.
I'm going to read from the message, Galatians 5, starting at verses 13, you said?
Yes.
It is absolutely clear that if God has called you to a free life, just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. Everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? How far do you want me to go down? My counsel
26.
Is this. Live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feel the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? On down, it is
26.
Obvious. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper and impotence to love or be loved. Divided homes, divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I have warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. we develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. There's just a little bit left in the chapter. Would you like me to finish it? Or you want me to stop there?
Yes.
Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our head or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better or another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. I like that.
Amen.
I like that. Amen.
Amen. And I wanted to talk, and we're focusing on walking in the Spirit. And what Dr. Susie has read there is a contrast between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. But I want to talk about walking for our listeners. First of all, walking is not a physical walking like we think of. The translation, you know, from the Greek is life or live. To live that way, this is the way we live normally, in other words. So to walk in the Spirit means how we live. It's not just a one-time thing, but it's how we live. And I just wanted to look again at those fruits of the Spirit as to how we're supposed to live. But when we live God's way, he brings. Go ahead, Doctor. You want to, for 22 and 23, read that again for us.
The issue is about this piece, 22, it says, but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard, things like affection for others. Now, it says, he brings gift into our lives. And I think what he's saying here, just looking at it superficially, is that we are blessed when he's talking about gifts. We receive blessings like affection. We enjoy life and we have an exuberance about life. We are serene. And that's what it means when we live life God's way. We get this willingness to stick with things. And we're not so tossed here and there, but we can find a place to settle and be consistent. And we have a sense of compassion in our heart, and we get a conviction about holiness that permeates everything we do. It's not a one-time shot. It's a way of life.
Amen.
It's a way of being.
Amen. And if you read it in like the King James Version, it said 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So we talked earlier about what it is that draws people to the church and what is it that turns people away from the church. And I think, you know, Sherry and Dr. Susie were sharing with us that it's how we act, how we live with people. And reading this text here about the fruit of the Spirit and the types of fruit that God gives us when we try to live God's way, the fruits of the Spirit are the things that ought to be coming out of us from the inside of us that I think attract people or draw people to God. And I could hear from Brett and Dr. Susie and Sherry on that issue. Again, we're looking at What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that text about the fruit of the Spirit. Sherry, what does that mean to you, to walk in the Spirit?
Get off mute.
Yeah, this phone that I have is not very, not good to navigate. Pretty much walking in the Spirit to me means that I am walking accordingly. It's hard to explain. So if I'm walking in my daily life, then I'm walking according to how God is calling me to function just in my day-to-day. So I'm allowing the Holy Spirit's opportunity to guide me. That includes my mind, my will, my emotions, and allowing myself to be used by God however it is that He chooses, offering up the opportunity for, you know, if I'm ever put in a position where, you know, throughout my day where, you know, I have the opportunity for people to come up to me, or I have the opportunity to impact someone else, that I'm operating in that love, that peace, that I'm operating in whatever gifts at the moment that that I might be required to operate in as the Spirit guides me. I guess that's the best way for me to do it. So if I'm talking to somebody and I'm sharing my heart, or God gives me a word and I'm sharing that word, then I'm just allowing myself to be used by God. So to me, that's walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
There you go.
Amen. Brett or Dr. Susie, you have anything you want to say about that? I want us to look at walking in the flesh. And
this is,
I want us to talk about the difference between the two. Okay, Dr. Susie.
This is Dr. Susie. I like what Sherry had to say, but I also like when we think of walking in the Spirit, you know, those very traits that you mentioned, the characteristics, walking in those traits, walking in a way that those things are exemplified or come forth or to the front is also, I would think, walking in the Spirit. So you see the manifestation of the gifts lived out in our lives because of the Spirit dwelling in and leading and guiding us, we're able to do those things.
Amen. Amen. And I want us to back up to verse, I think it's verse, let me see here, probably like verse 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath or being mad, selfish, visions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the
still
like.
Still going.
And he said, I could go on. I could still go on. There's more stuff. But I think it's important for us to look at the difference between the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit, and try to understand that some of us, I think all of us, sometimes exhibit the fruits of the flesh. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get mad. Sometimes, you know, I might be I might be selfish. I have ambitions, envy. Some people.
So all of us as believers, at some point or other, experience not having our eyes focused on the Lord. And when we aren't focused and we're not listening or being led by the Spirit, we're apt to fall short.
Amen.
And walk in the flesh. So this is a growing
Amen.
Process. And I think that even though, and what do you all think? Do you all think this is a chronological process? Or is this something that you go back and forth with? How do you all see that?
This is Brett. Yes, we go back and forth. And one thing I'd like for people to understand that are listening to us tonight is that before we gave our lives to Christ, we all probably did everything that has been listed in the back column here, because we had a life before we became Christians. And as we walk in our Christian life, then we try to shed and get rid of those things that we shouldn't be doing, like selfishness. A lot of people grew up selfish, you know, keeping their toys to themselves. The thing is that you got to be able to share in God's kingdom. You know, we are supposed to feed our brethren. If you got a neighbor that's starving and you got enough food, then give them something. Same thing with clothing or whatever else they need. And that's something you have to learn to do as you walk in the Spirit. That's all.
So this is Dr. Susie. So realistically, I want the real question to be answered, because I know there's people out there talking about, so how much time do I have to get it right? You know, there are people out there who they come and, you know, and other folks won't even let them be free of what they used to do, because they've been boxed in and have perceptions that that's who so-and-so is, and they ain't going to be nobody but what I imagine them to be. Am I, you know, does anybody else have that experience of what people will do to others?
Amen. I agree with you, Dr. Susie.
Is anybody up there?
Can you hear me?
Yes. This is Brett. I think the problem is that people rely on other people's judgment of them, when you should be living your life and not worry about anybody else, because they're not going to add to your living. They're not going to make your living any better, because they're not paying any of your bills. They're not putting food on your table. They're not putting clothes on your back. They're not getting you from point A to point B. The thing is, you are taking care of you. And as you walk in your spiritual path and you get stronger and stronger in your belief, then God is always going to be there walking with you. The thing is, he's not going to forsake you, because we have already talked about that about a month or two ago, where he is never going to leave you. The
Amen.
Thing is that we have got to believe that. We have to understand that this is for real. Everybody
right.
in your life has right. lied to you at some point or time, but God has never lied. God has never forsaken
us. Amen.
God is
Amen.
Not
give
up on
sure.
us.
I agree with Brett.
That's
it.
Yes.
I stick with this
yeah.
one thing right here. They talked about Jesus, and if they talked about
there
him,
go.
They're going to talk about you. So you get to a point
yeah.
where you just suck that, you suck it up, and you know, the Bible says that a prophet is without honor in his own house, right? So
Amen.
when Christ was growing up, you know, they sat here and in his where he lived at, they didn't believe that he was who he said he was. All right. And
go.
He went out
mm-hmm.
and he was able to impact everyone. You just do what the Bible says. You kick the dust off your feet and you keep it moving, you know, and you allow your life to be the example, just like he did. All right. And like Britt said, ain't nobody putting food on your table and ain't nobody doing nothing for you. You do what you
Amen.
Know you need to do, and you live a life glorifying God, and that's all that matters.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
You have a mission, and your mission is not to please man, but your mission is to do the work of God. And that's
all right.
I'm with that one.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, the word also talks about and reminds us that if it happens to the green, what happens to the green tree, you know, we can know if they did that to Christ, that they're gonna do that to us as a brown. So we can expect, and this is something that Sherry always helps me with, and I got it imprinted in my heart now. It's like, so you see people and you know they are not believers, and you know that they are carnal Christians.
Come on.
So Maya Angelou says, when people show you who they are, believe them the first time. So if you know that people are not a weak, don't be expecting them to act like they're strong. If you know
Amen.
That people aren't Christians, then have an expectation or understand that when they respond to you, they're going to respond to you as a person that's not a Christian. So we shouldn't be caught off guard or upset or frustrated when that's who they are. So
Amen.
If a person's not a Christian and they respond to you in a way that is unchristianly, then instead of you getting upset about it, you should be saying, well, guess what? That's who they are. And keep it rolling.
And continue
this
to
not
display
slow you down one bit.
Continue
Amen.
To display the gifts of the Spirit.
So can
absolutely.
Continue to love.
It shouldn't thwart you and throw you off your game, which is to walk in the Spirit. It's what I'm saying. And
right.
it shouldn't throw you off your game. That's what the point I'm trying to make is not how they should walk. Yes, they should walk in the Spirit. That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is you shouldn't go reeling because of what somebody said to you or did to you
mm-hmm.
when you know who
Come
they
on.
Are.
That's right.
Amen.
And if I could add to that one, that includes people who call themselves Christians as well.
Amen.
Because you
yeah,
have
you
a lot of people,
Christian.
You know, that's right. That's right. Because, you know, we haven't arrived yet. So even when we come out of our flesh, and I don't look at it, you know, some people use it as an excuse. God is not through with me yet. So that's an excuse sometimes to sit here and cut up
Amen.
And then come back, you know. And other times it's, you know, hey, the fact is I'm not perfect. You know, if you get me
Amen.
Hot enough and I have that moment where I just roll up in my flesh or, you know, a situation come up, but, you know, I'm going to repent, but I'm not perfect. So don't expect me to be perfect
All
just
right.
because they call me a woman of God or this or that or the other because I'm not perfect. So you leave a little room also for people who call themselves Christians or believers in
come
the
on.
Messiah. Or pick a word, pick a label, don't matter, because that word Christian is great, but people wear it as a label. They don't actually walk it out. So even when I hear that, I'm like, okay, I allow your life and the fruit to be the witness, not that
there
title
you go.
Or what you call yourself. So even have a margin of error for that as well. Okay.
Yeah, this breath.
Amen.
My dad used to, the old people used to say this, if it looks like a snake and acts like a snake, believe it is a snake and you stay clear of it. Because the other one was, the lepers don't change their spots. And the thing is, when you know something is dangerous, you need to stay away from it, especially if you're trying to be a Christian.
But I don't know about that one, the leper don't change his spots. Because for me, I know who I was before Christ, and I know who I am now. And I think if that was the case, my spots wouldn't have, which, you know, that would mean that my spots changed. You know what I mean? Because I'm changing and I'm growing in the Lord. However, when people choose to not grow, people choose, you know.
Come on.
I think Sherry made a good example. Is that some? We got 75-year-old babes. I'm talking about sucking on a bottle, babe, still in the church because they did not choose, do not want to be accountable for their growth. But amen. I don't think you can
there
get
you
around being accountable for that. God calls us, demands that we walk in the Spirit, that we are to grow up in the Lord. So, you know, and I'm not the one to say when that is, but I think God would know, you know, if you've been doing this for 75 years and you haven't changed, then, you know, you might want to rethink that. You know, ask the question, did I really get saved? Do I know the Lord?
Amen.
Dr. Dunst?
Yes. And I think you asked the question earlier, you know, how long? You know, and many people get saved, and Paul said it himself, I have not yet attained. So I think we go back and forth. And hopefully, if we are growing in the Spirit, we're moving more toward a spirit walk than a fleshly walk. But I think all of us kind of go back and forth. We have not yet been glorified. We have not yet attained, as Paul said. But we ought to be growing in the Spirit, in our walk with God. And we pray that that would be the case. But when it comes to salvation, people do change their spots. I mean, they change from being in the world to being a part of God. Even though they may be carnal and they may be babes in the flesh, they're still
right.
a part of God. And that's what we need,
Amen.
You know, people need to understand that they can be saved. You don't have to get yourself cleaned up to be saved. You can be saved today. I don't care what kind of condition you're in, what you've done, you can be saved today. And then your spots are changed. Even though we still continue to, I think, struggle with our humanity, we should be growing in grace and in understanding, and our walk should be getting closer to a walk with God as we grow. But as Dr. Susie said, sometimes people aren't really saved. They aren't really changed, and sometimes they go through the motions, and they get baptized in the church because somebody told them they ought to be baptized, and they become a member of a church because grandma told them they ought to be, but they never really were changed. And I've seen that in a lot of people.
Amen.
And they grow up and they get older and realize they really never did have a commitment to God. They never really were committed. They just did what people told them to do. And so God needs to be real in people's lives. And when God is real, there is a change. Our spots are changed. Our lives are changed. Our walks should change.
Amen.
Our thoughts should change. I mean, there ought to be something different about us, and that is what draws people to the church. And I really, really believe that there needs to be sincerity. I think there needs to be revival in the church. And I think, I don't know my sisters and brothers, but I think there really needs to be almost an explosion of what we've been doing, because in many cases it's not reaching the people. We're not serving the people. We're not displaying the fruits of the Spirit. And I feel like our testimony sometimes is weak and it's invalid. And people don't want to come
right.
to church. Young people especially are totally turned off from the church. And it breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart to see that. And to hear them say, I don't want to be a part of those hypocrites. You know, why should I want to go over there? They're liars, you know, they're phonies. And we're not displaying not displaying the fruits of the Spirit so that they would want to come and be a part of God. And that bothers me. I just put that out there for discussion.
Amen.
I think that's a real serious issue, Dr. Nixon. But people have to realize that we are going to be held accountable. I was thinking about Eric when Sherry was talking and Britt was talking, and I was thinking he would say, well, I know some people, he says, that went down and dried up and came back up a wet one. And the reality is that we know, each of us know inside, if we are
being called to do something different, if our heart is changing, if we're more caring for people, if we're more open to love, if we're giving of ourselves. And I have seen people who claim to be Christians and don't have any kind of compassion in their heart. And no, I'm not going to go around judging them, but it's real clear what the fruit are or fruit is. And if we're not manifesting that fruit at some point in time, then we need to be concerned. Because I was really, you know, Easter was last week. And there are people who were afraid to be excited about Resurrection Sunday. And I'm like, excuse me, how can you?
All right.
I mean, I watched The Passion of Christ, and I was just bawling. The tears were just rolling. So when I listened to the word, when I started preaching the word, and I'm sitting up in the devotion place on 63 with people who were in psych, they can get excited about it, but the people down in the regular service acting like they can't get excited about it. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know about you. I know everybody down in this place is not a believer, but it's something about when you have that relationship with God, you can't hold it. You got to say something. You got to do something. You can't keep it to yourself. You just can't.
Amen.
You got to find some way of sharing or communicating what God has done for you. Now, I may be wrong. Is anybody on here on the line that hasn't had to do that? So, I mean, I'm open. I'm trying to learn. Anybody?
I think the Spirit of God
can go without saying something.
Okay. I'm sorry. I heard what you were saying, but I missed the question.
My question was this. I was talking about how during Easter, there's some people who could not get excited about it, or you know, one of the things it was saying is we have to go and tell. I can't hold it up. It's like fire shut up in my bones. When I know the passion, when I know what God went through for me, I can't keep it to myself. You know, I'm not saying we all manifested the same. Some people might cry. Some people might pat their foot. But something has to come from you.
Amen.
And are we talking about Easter? Or are we talking about just the fact of Christ dying for us and what he's done for us?
I'm talking about our walk. We're talking about our walk. And Easter was an example. And I'm saying that here we are, and there's some people that couldn't even get excited about the fact of what he did on the cross. And I went to the site.
Amen.
I was in sites where people are struggling and have psychological challenges, but they could praise God. But when I go down to the regular service, I got folks sitting up there stiff. So what I'm saying is that somehow something happens. It's a tear. It's a pat or your foot moves, or something happens in your heart. Something happens in your being that has to express some form or fashion what God has done for you.
So just to bring some, knowing where we are, because we're in the state of Maine, and knowing there's a stronghold over the state of Maine. Witchcraft is rampant in the state of Maine. So this goes back to based off of what you know and based off of the strongholds in the area, you're not going to see what you want to see, because in this area of Maine and the whole New England altogether, there is a stronghold. And Satanism and witchcraft are the things that are running this area. So what you want to see, you're not going to see. Not because it can't happen, but because the people are not open to it. Now, if we can win people to Christ in the area, that's different. You're not going to see it. So that excitement is, you'll see all that excitement for Halloween. You'll see all that excitement for a whole lot of stuff But if we just go away from the holidays altogether and we're just looking at the what Christ did, a lot of them do not believe.
Amen. But what I was saying is that I could see there's some people who were walking the life, the walk of the Spirit, that were on 63.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, you can still see a difference. You don't have to. You can be in the psych ward and love the Lord and have a walk in relationship with God and manifest that. And it's people that's sitting down in the seats that have no relationship with God, like you said, are suppressed by the strongholds, but they just come to church because it's ritual, or they come to church to push the veterans down there.
That's it. That's it. They check their box,
but
and they move on with their life. There's no relationship. It is, like you said, ritual, not relationship. There's a big difference between the two.
Right.
This is for it. Okay. I hear what Dr. Susie is saying. I hear what you're saying too. But let me put it this way. If you are a Christian and if you are walking a life of wanting a life like Christ had, there's some fundamental things you got to understand. First of it is, if you are really a Christian, you're going to be excited every day about something along your journey. You can't help it because the Spirit of the Lord is in you. And if you are worshiping him the way that you should be worshiping him, you can have church right in your house every day. A lot of people don't understand that. Pray at night before they go to bed. They'll pray in the morning when they get up thanking him for seeing that they have a new day and stuff. And then they go on about their day, and they don't think nothing else about the Lord. They don't think about how the Bible is affecting their lives if they are walking the way that Christ wants us to walk. It's not about the region that you live in. It's not about the satanic cults and stuff, because that's all over the United States. It's about you as an individual and your journey walking with Christ and walking with the Word. Give you a good example. Because of Easter, Matthew, Mark, and John, now Dr. Nooks, you can correct me if I'm wrong, all three of them give an account of how Jesus was betrayed and his crucifixion. However, before that happened, the disciples were approached by a man who had a son who had seizures and fell into the fire and stuff. And this guy came and asked the disciples to heal his son, and none of the disciples could do it. When Jesus came, the man asked Jesus, he said, "I came and asked your followers to heal my son, and none of them could do it." And what did Jesus say? "How long must I be with you?"
Yep. You have little faith.
The disciples did not believe. They did not believe that they had the power to heal this guy. And that's the way it is in the church. That's the way it is with your deacons, your elders, even some of your ministers. They don't believe that they have the power to do things that God or Jesus said that we could do. If you are really and truly a Christian, you believe and you're walking this walk, talking this talk, you got to be about doing it.
That's what we call walking in the spirit.
Amen.
Amen. There you go.
Want to high five you right now, Brett. Want to high five you.
I'm done.
Amen.
But one other thing. I've read the Bible, I'll put it this way. I've been in church all my life because my mother was a Sunday school teacher. It wasn't until the Spirit got into me to the point that I became the Brit of the streets to Brit being in seminary, to Brit becoming a minister. Once you allow yourself to walk in the spirit world, the things that are in the Bible will become more clearer to us. And one of the things that I realized on that little parable that I was talking about what Jesus did, and it dawned on me that nowhere in the New Testament could I find where it says that the disciples themselves were baptized by Jesus or baptized by anybody. Now, I might be wrong. That's why I said, Dr. Nooks, correct me if I'm wrong. But if you don't believe and you're just following somebody, I mean, come on. We all went to school. We all did what the teacher said. We followed her outside. We did whatever. But yet and still, we couldn't teach a class. And that's what happened to these disciples. They had been following him, listening to him, asking questions and stuff, but they could not do the work. And that means you're just a follower.
Yeah, when they got the Spirit, then they had the power to go and make disciples. And
there you go.
Dr. Susie, it's after 8. I don't know if you wanted us to go any further. I yield to you. I was going to read one more text, but it's after 8.
Go ahead and read it.
Can you hear us, Dr. Susie?
Go ahead and read it.
Okay, it's Galatians 6, 1 through 10. And I'm reading it from the Message. And again, we're on the subject of walking in the Spirit. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens, and so complete Christ's law. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Be very sure now. You who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have and experience. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvest a crop of weeds, and he'll have to show for his life, all he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Truly, God has a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. And I'm just excited about walking in the Spirit and the effect that can have on the church, on my life, and on my family, and on the community if I walk in the Spirit. I believe it's life-changing and transformative for the world.
Amen. I think so, too. Amen. So as Dr. Nooks, if you would recap the theme for tonight and sum that up and then close us out in prayer.
Yeah, we're looking at walking in the spirit, and all of us, I think, go back and forth between the flesh and the spirit at some point. But once we're saved, we are part of God, but still we trip up. And Paul puts it this way: there's a war going on inside of me. When I would do good, evil is present. And the thing that I want to do, I find myself unable to do. And the thing that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And then he says, I have not yet attained. So we're still striving, but we ought to be striving to walk closer with God. Draw closer to God, and God will draw close to you. And yes. I just feel that walking in the Spirit, displaying love and kindness and joy and caring about people is what is needed in the life of the church and what is needed in our country and in our world. And there's too much meanness, too much evilness, and a lot of it's coming from the church. And I just pray that there would be revival and we would start walking in the Spirit the way God wants us to and reflect God's love. And God, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for those that are listening in, those that have participated. And God, we need your Spirit, and we need to be able to walk in your Spirit. And sometimes, God, we get weak, and we pray for the strength that only can come from you. And God, comfort us when we hurt ourselves and hurt others. God, we ask for your forgiveness and help the church, God, in a special way. But we need to be the light on the hill and the salt that have not lost its savor. God, we need to be folks that are affecting people and drawing people to you in love and kindness. And God, helping them to grow, helping them to see something different in your people. Help us to be those people. And God, there may be someone tonight that's listening in that would like to give their life to you. And God, they may be struggling and they may think that they can't do it. They're too bad. And we want to let them know tonight you're not too bad for God. You can't get too bad for God. So just confess your sins and let God know that you've messed up, and just as all of us have. And believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, and that Christ is God's Son. And Scripture says you shall be saved. It doesn't say you might be saved, but you shall be saved. And we rejoice with you tonight if you confess that and you said those words and you just prayed to God and asked God to come into your life, you're saved right now, tonight, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we're so grateful for all those that have participated. And we ask you to bless in a special way Dr. Susie, our leader. Continue to comfort her and strengthen her, God, and for her to have the vision and the strength to continue with the Bible. So we thank you for all that you are, God. We love you, and we know you love us.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.